This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
We need more police officers on the streets of our neighborhoods here in the city of Chicago. These officers will be assigned directly to the streets of our communities to work with residents in partnership to confront gun violence. Ending this string of tragedies is our top priority as a city. The violence that is happening corrodes our core. This fight is for all of Chicago because it's Chicago's future that is at stake.
Really an exceptional, extraordinary speech by Rahm Emanuel last night. Got kind of emotional as well at different times during the speech. Talked a long time about a city that we all love. And his vision on how to save it, and a sort of a surprise program that I don't think very many people knew about. Certainly hadn't heard about it. A corporate-sponsored, in part, program to mentor kids in tough schools and tough neighborhoods to give them opportunities they don't have, which caused so many to join gangs. So anyway, the mayor's going to be on later. Mayor Rahm Emanuel after 8 o'clock this morning. Also, you remember Chris Hansen? Chris Hansen, To Catch a Predator, Chris Hansen.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that guy?
Mm-hmm.
He's now the host of Crime Watch Daily, which I think Tribune owns, doesn't it? Isn't that a Tribune media show?
I think it might be, yeah.
So we'll do a plug with Chris Hansen at 8:40 this morning. Brian Campbell from your Chicago Blackhawks, Dan Hampton from the Chicago Bears when they were good, and Coach Fitz all on this morning, so we've got a bunch of sports covered for you. The very funny Pat McGann will be live in studio, and John DeCoss will be here. Kevin Powell on baseball and, of course, his personal life. The legendary Jewel will be on. Is she old enough to be legendary? I think she is. Jewel?
No,
she's not old enough to be legendary?
Old.
Well, she's got to be.
Legendary,
she 40?
You need to be like 70.
Okay, so she's not legendary. She's really good, though.
Oh, yeah.
Jewel's got a book out about her life. She'll be on as well.
And she's 42.
She's 42?
That's old enough.
No. Do you think?
We'll have to get back to you on their legendary status.
I'll check that.
And Lou Manfredini in just a couple of minutes. And with Lou, all you need to do is call in and start whining about your house. So if any staff folks here have questions about their house, then you need to just call and say, hey, Steve, I've got a question about my house. If you're the first caller, you'll be a big prize winner.
It's Lou's First Call with Lou Manfredini and Steve Cochran. Brought to you by American Weathermakers.
American Weathermakers, we won't be comfortable until you are.
It's the time of the show.
Somebody got to show me how a cough button works, apparently. I just turned my microphone off. I turned my microphone on to cough. My microphone was off.
I turned it on to cough.
We didn't hear anything.
First caller always wins. Tomorrow, Lou will be live at the Hawks, what amounts to spring training. It's fall training.
Mm-hmm.
Camp opens today, and you'll be live tomorrow. And I'm sure it'll be emotional for you because we remember your name and your days with the Rockford Ice Hogs.
Right. I was the Zamboni mechanic.
That was it.
Right, because I was actually, you know, I am working with the Blackhawks to try and get a Zamboni outside.
Outside to what?
Well,
lay a thin layer of ice in the parking lot so people will slip and fall?
The broadcast that we'll be doing tomorrow. Actually, Mike Steven will have his Outside the Loop radio show. It's his 10-year anniversary of doing that show, by the way.
Okay.
And he'll be out there from starting at 6 a.m. And I said, hey, couldn't we get like a Zamboni out there? You know, maybe even give people rides in the parking lot? Because it's like a car. You know what I mean?
A really slow car.
Well, right. But
right.
And first they said, no. And then all of a sudden, evidently they own three of them.
Uh-huh.
And they're like, well, maybe.
You got to have a backup Zamboni.
Well, sure you do.
Yeah.
And then, so what I ended up doing, I did a little research about the Zamboni, and I have a whole big diatribe, prepared to talk about the Zamboni.
Well, was it last year or the year before? Oh, by the way, first caller wins at 312-981-7200, and you texters, here's how this normally works. Texters with Lou tend to text around 6:45, 10 minutes after he's off the air with a lot of important questions. So let's get
poor Kathy and Judy get lots of home improvement questions when I'm done.
Oh,
at 10
I bet
o'clock.
They do.
Yeah.
But texters, get your questions in now. Get your questions in now for Lou on whatever is ailing you at 312-981-7200. So what was a great point I was about to make
about the
What time does the show start?
Zamboni.
The Zamboni. Last year we started calling it the Ice Resurfacer.
Well, which is what it's technically called.
So the Zamboni is the name of the guy that invented it?
Correct.
But so
it was invented in California in 1939.
In California?
Right. There were two brothers, and they were in the business of
Orville and Wilbur Zamboni.
Well, something like that.
Yeah.
They were making ice for the transport in the dairy industry. Okay? So back in the day, before they had refrigeration, they would put these huge blocks of ice in the truck with the dairy industry running around with milk. Well, then as refrigeration got better, their business was like, hey, nobody needs ice anymore. And so they took some money and invested in a ice rink that they opened in California. And the way they used to take care of the ice is people would go with shovels and scrape the ice, and then other people would go with wet towels and drag them on a broomstick to resurface the ice.
That doesn't bode for speedy ice resurfacing.
Frank Zamboni, one of the brothers, said there has to be a better way. And so he took parts from old war equipment and made his first Zamboni on top of a Willys Army Jeep.
And thus history was made.
Uh-huh.
All right, so why don't we call it
and
the
I
Zamboni?
Have more fun facts for tomorrow if I can only get the darn Zamboni out there.
Yeah, well, I hope it happens for you. I mean, a boy can dream.
Why
do they call it the Ice Resurfacer now? Is Zamboni a licensed name or something?
No. I think that it's technically called the Ice Resurfacer.
But Zamboni's a cooler name.
It is, and I think it just became, what do you call that, when people, part of the vernacular.
Yeah.
It's like Kleenex.
Right, so it's a Zamboni.
So, like when your grandma says, I want a Coke, she could be drinking a Pepsi.
Correct. Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, I'm calling it the Zamboni.
Me too. It's way more fun. And then it also goes to my whole thing is that everything cool in our lives was invented by an Italian.
Well, I don't know that you're biased at all about that.
No, but I could come up with tons of examples of things that if an Italian didn't invent it, we would be lost.
Yeah, I'm sure you could.
Like Marconi.
Not familiar with his work.
Uh-huh.
At 6:23, let's get the first caller on the air. And his name is Greg. Greg, you got a house trouble? House problem?
Yes, I do.
A house trouble.
I went to check my April air humidifier filter, and it's bone dry. Also, I think it might be clogged or not even dropping water on it. So what would I do to kind of troubleshoot that?
I like the idea of taking an old Jeep and having a broom with a towel on it.
Just running around the house. You'll definitely get humidity, that's for sure.
All right, Greg, don't hang up because I have a prize here for you. But in the meantime, how does he fix this, Luke?
Okay, first of all, bone dry now, it shouldn't be running at all because we're in the middle of summer. But if this was an issue in the fall and you notice that water still isn't coming down there, I would first check the water valve that's feeding the unit. There should be a small valve that you can turn on and off and a hose line that you can disconnect from the humidifier and make sure that water's coming from that hose. Just pour it into a bucket. If that's working and the unit, when it's set to the right temperature, does not allow water to flow, there's a solenoid at the top. It's actually it's like a gate valve that's electronic that opens and closes. And that unit that has two wires on it can be replaced. It's pretty inexpensive, like $20. And you disconnect it from the unit, and then you wire the two wires. It's low voltage, so you don't have to worry about, you know, getting shocked if you cross a wire. But just put the white with the white and the black with the black, and that should solve the problem. It's a humidifier is such a simple machine that's all it is. Open and close, and the water flows.
But white with the white, black with the black sounds like a scene from Lethal Weapon, and don't cut the green wire.
Don't cut the green wire.
Is there any danger at all?
Right. No danger.
No danger. Okay. No. Texters, Lou, I ran ice rinks for a long time. Used to have a license plate holder that said my other car's a Zamboni.
I love that.
Get it out there, Lou. And I forgot to award the prize here already. Let's go to the prize list, Lou.
He wins an April Air Wi-Fi thermostat, allowing you to control your temperature from anywhere in the world from American Weathermakers. 855-955-HVAC.
Home of the 60-Minute Man?
Yeah.
Well done by you. The water in the toilet, these are the textures now, the water in the toilet tank starts running for a few seconds periodically. How do we fix that?
That's probably due to a deformed flapper valve
break. It's always sad when your flapper valve's deformed.
I know. So my favorite one, if I would take the old flapper off. The way to test this is if you hold it down with your hand and push with more force to seal it, that should stop the water flowing. But usually it's because a flapper needs to be replaced. It's a $6 item.
Right. It's not a big deal to fix
Two seconds.
Yeah. The bulbs keep burning out in my under cabinet lighting. Had the track for 10 years. Problem started at about year 5. Can the track be saved or I need to replace it?
It could be that if it's a low voltage system, there's probably a driver that's driving those. My guess is they're halogen bulbs, and that's what's shot. Or if they are halogen bulbs and you're replacing them, try a lower wattage because you can get different ones. I will tell you now that the advent of LEDs, there are so many options now for LED under cabinet lights in particular. Even 3M makes one. Steve, it's like a roll of tape. And you literally take the backing off of it and you stick it under the cabinet and it's adjustable. You can dim it. You can even change the color. And it literally is like putting tape on the bottom of your cabinet. You don't even see it. The profile of it is probably less than an eighth of an inch.
Oh, is it battery operated? How does it
work? No, it plugs in.
Oh, it does.
So there's a driver also, so you could plug it in. But it's amazing.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah, and it creates
no
heat.
Ace?
You know, so a lot of people complain that when you have under cabinet lights, you open up the cabinets, put your hand on the bottom shelf, and it's super hot.
Do you sell it at Ace?
We do. It's made by 3M, actually.
I don't have time to go to all the Ace stores. What are like two that I might go to?
There's one in Edgebrook on the northwest side of the city.
Give me one more.
There's another one in Villa Park, and you can always find your local location by going to acehardware.com.
I like the one in Glenview.
And the one in Glenview is fantastic.
That's my home Ace.
Yeah, that Glenview, the Weiss Ace there, that thing's top notch.
Driveway cracking because of chipmunk activity underneath. Well, what are the chipmunks up to? What's the best trap for chipmunks?
Okay, this is
they
my
like old Milwaukee
or hams. Mm-hmm. One of the things that I've talked about this year a lot that works, and I've used it. It's the Bonide Sonic Spike.
Got one.
And
so far, so good. I did see one the other day run across my deck, but that's the I've
well,
seen.
But he was running. He was like, "Oh my gosh, somebody's in peril! Yeah. Let's get out of here!"
Oh yeah, he was running because I opened the door to walk out on the deck.
Oh, okay.
I actually have a note here that was just sent to me, faxed to me by Chipmunks. Chipmunks still using the old fax system.
Sure.
If I could just read this to you, Chipmunk.
Sure.
I believe that's Chipmunk cursing.
That's Muskrat about Love.
You. No, it's Chipmunk.
It sounded like it's Muskrat Chipmunk. Love.
I'm continuing on with the textures before we get to our whiny staff questions. Let's see. We covered your toilet tank. Oh, Lou, we have vertical patio blinds. Our two large dogs have knocked them off so many times they won't stay up. Any ideas on how to keep them up? My husband is tired of standing there holding the slats on.
Well, if the slats aren't broken, because typically there's a little notch at the top that goes into a clip.
It doesn't seem like a great use of time if the husband comes home from work or whatever he does, and he's standing there holding
right. So those clips at the top. It's
a long night, man.
Yeah,
maybe you got to get rid of the dogs. I don't know.
Yeah. The clips at the top are probably just worn. Those can be replaced. They're just little plastic clips. The other kind of trick, although it's not the prettiest thing in the world, is if there's space, depending on the clip, you can take a zip tie, which they make them in a kind of an opaque plastic that'll probably
Lou,
match.
Oh, Lou, do not tell them to use zip ties on their blinds.
I know. Hold on. You'd be surprised what people will do. Because they'll be like, I can't replace those clips.
If I could speak on behalf of Sandberg, it's not what people will do. It's the fact that you're suggesting people do it.
Yeah. But you
what you should be telling these people is, let's lose the vertical blinds and put up some nice canvas drapes. That's what you should be saying.
All right. Well, there you go.
Join us tomorrow for Sandberg's first call.
You know, it's funny, Steve. I was thinking about this because, you know, I really don't know Mary that well. But, you know, I'm a little frightened.
Yeah. See? Get in line, dude.
Right.
Get in line.
Whatever Mary says.
Last
She's
one.
She's not Lou, even my wife. Whatever Mary says.
Yeah, well, it fits in a lot of ways. Lou, I'd like to know your recommendations on LP Smart Side with Diamond Coat Finish. Is this some code between you and the listeners?
No, that is another version of a siding that's a competitor to Hardy Plank, which is a cementitious siding. And Hardy Board is a really terrific product if you're going to reside a home that will mimic the look of cedar siding, but it's super durable. The LP Smart Side is an alternative that definitely should be considered. It gives you the same level of performance. They'll argue their performance is better. And, you know, in many cases, I think there's pros and cons to both. But if you're thinking about siding your home, either one of those items those products rather are terrific, and your home will look so much better if you want an upgrade from vinyl.
Anybody a question before we get to Dave? Anyone? Dave, your question.
Oh, yes.
Oh, Mary, did you have a question?
What do I do with old paint? I'm tired of it laying all over the house.
Many stores offer a recycling program that you have to pay to bring it in. What I would suggest to people, you pay per gallon. It's typically $2 to $3 per gallon that you bring in. Go ahead and combine the paint to 1 gallon. Or, you know, in other words, if you have 5 gallons, you can get them all into two. Then bring those in to recycle. The recycling companies take it and turn that latex paint back into plastic.
Nice.
The dried paint in the can, in other words, it's empty now, you let it dry, that can be thrown into the recycling.
How do you find these places you're speaking of here?
Most hardware stores across the Chicagoland area offer this service, but you can call the
Ace?
Local store. Like, Mary, where do you live?
Villa Park, right by the Ace Hardware.
Yeah, there's
Can Villa I bring
Park.
It there?
They offer recycling.
All right.
Okay, good.
Bring it there.
Dave, you have a question?
Well, more of a tip of the hat to Lou and to our friends from Fresh Wave. Mm-hmm. As you know, my dog was skunked a couple of weeks ago.
They sent you a huge box of products yesterday.
Sent me a box of Fresh Wave products, including an odor-removing pet shampoo.
Which is fantastic. I use it all the time on myself.
Really?
No.
Okay.
That's why my hair looks so good.
Didn't see that coming. Anyway, thanks to Fresh Wave, my dog will no longer smell.
Yeah. Well, that's very good. Yeah. All right. And Dave, do you have a follow-up?
Lou, my buckthorn is exploding.
Of course.
You've already covered this, Lou. You don't
I
need to
come back.
I can't
believe that you haven't gotten the Rags of Honor guys to make a T-shirt yet.
My buckthorn is exploding?
Yeah.
That's a good idea.
Call those guys. Yeah. Well, yeah, I'm busy. Sponsored by American Weathermakers, you've been listening to Lou's First Call.
Come on out and see us out at the United Center. The broadcast is free. The outside part of the festival, anybody can come in. You need a ticket to get inside, but anybody can come outside. And no promises, but I'm working on Zamboni rides.
Yes, and again, it is 855-955-HVAC. Back after this on 720 WGN.
Love you.
You too, buddy. See ya.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
It's the saddest Yahoo ever. 500 million Yahoo accounts compromised. Now, there's not 500 million people in this country. So hopefully for you, you've got Yahoo accounts established internationally because they've been hacked too, huh? Good news. Yahoo, yay. Tell you what you can do to save your Yahoo bacon in just a moment. But first, let me say hi to John DeCoste. Good morning, John. How are you?
Good morning. How are you?
Doing fine tomorrow night, you and me and a couple of other Yahoos. In this case, it would be Pat McGann and Rocky DePort. Pat will be in here live later. How do we get tickets for the big stand-up comedy show at Governor State?
Yeah, it's going to be great. 7 o'clock tomorrow at Governor State, which is just south of 80. You can go to online to centertickets.net or call the box office directly at 708-235-2222.
Two. Yes. All right, you got a question? Let's give away some tickets. You got a question for a pair of tickets?
Yeah, we're going to keep it to Chicago trivia.
Okay.
Okay, so here it is.
It's first correct caller, 312-981-7200.
Perfect. Here we go. The Chicago River is the only river in the world that does what?
The Chicago River, the only river in the world that does what? 312. You can't win, Dave. 312-981-7200 is the telephone number. First correct caller wins a pair of tickets to tomorrow night's stand-up comedy extravaganza. With Rocky LaPorte, Pat McGann, Steve Cochran, John DeCoste at Governor State University at 7 o'clock. All right, so if you were in one of the compromised accounts at Yahoo, you know, you might be going, well, how do I know? Here's the bottom line. If you ever signed up for a Yahoo account, ever, you know, maybe you signed up 10 years ago and you've never used it. Here's what you need to do. Change all of your passwords. I know you're saying, come on, Steve. Not just your Yahoo account. Make a list of all the online accounts where you store sensitive information. Or if you're like me, you've got a password locker. I have a thing called Keeper, which is just an app. And it's a good one to keep all my passwords in one place. Update all your passwords to make them long and strong. Be sure to give each separate account a unique password, too. No repeats. And the best way to keep track is with a password manager like the Keeper thing that I referenced. Now, why do you need to change all your passwords? And why do you have to do it today as opposed to the weekend? Well, because you don't know. You don't know if Yahoo's already into your business. So you need to set some time aside and do it today. How many people do you think will actually follow my advice there? Three?
I was going to say four.
Four is a better password.
Yeah.
F-O-U-R-4-4-4-4-4.
Review your old emails, delete sensitive content, and disconnect accounts. Now, this one's nearly impossible for me, at least, if you've got hundreds and not thousands of emails to go through, right? The fact of the matter is you could have financial information in an email if you've ever made that mistake. You could have any sort of sensitive data in an email. And if they have information, they being the bad guys, have information they've pilfered through the Yahoo hack, then they can get into your other data accounts and start going through your email. You might be saying, Steve, I'm not that important. Got a few $1,000s in the bank? I'm sure they'd love to get it. I'm telling you. I'm just warning you. You should use email with encryption or simply switch to Gmail. This is not a hype for Gmail. It's just Gmail has a great encryption system. They also have a thing called two-factor authentication. In a world where you go, oh, it's too much hassle. Two-factor authentication doesn't just limit you to a password. What happens is you sign in with a password, and then after your password, there's a second step you need to take. Could be to answer a question. Could be to do a little jig. But the fact is the second step gets you in, and it's twice as hard for hackers to get in because you've got two-step verification. I'm not saying this stuff isn't a pain in the butt, but it's a bigger pain in the butt when your ID theft occurs and then people steal your money.
Yeah, and I feel bad because all of your financial stuff is in my Yahoo.
This is why I know this stuff.
Yeah, I don't know why I have it.
And don't ever open shady emails. Don't do it. You know, if there's an attachment on an email from somebody that you don't know, delete it. I know that it's delightful that people are sending you emails with cute little attachments. Hey, maybe it's a picture of a bunny. Don't open it. You're asking for nothing but trouble. All right. So you want to review? Use Gmail or an email with encryption. Enable two-factor authentication. If you don't know what two-factor authentication is, even after the explanation, just Google it. Two-factor authentication, it'll explain it to you. Never, ever, ever open shady emails. Go through your old emails, especially if you are organized enough to know where the financial information in your emails might be stored. Or maybe you've been sexting with Anthony Weiner. You want that out there? I don't think you do. You got to get rid of that as well. And obviously, change your passwords and get a password keeper of some kind. Doesn't have to be keeper like I use, but have your passwords all in one place. And I wouldn't advise writing them down and keeping them in your wallet. Mary Vandeville doing a little chair dancing. Are you in another dance competition? Did I hear that to be true?
Some little birdie talk to you?
No, that's just I know everything. Oh. What dance competition are you
in? It's not a competition. It's just like a showcase dance that I'm doing.
Oh, well, Tomorrow night. Even bigger.
Well, no, it's not. I mean, it's still very scary, but, you know, it's not a competition, so you're not getting judged or anything.
Where are you doing this?
I'm not going to tell you.
Why? I got a show. I can't show up. Where are you going to be?
It's in a suburb.
I actually think that Mary heard about your comedy show and then she booked this showcase.
Yes, and I decided to dance because I would rather make a fool of myself than watch you make.
Yeah,
no, I won't.
Could be. I got a lot of loyalty on this staff, don't I? Which suburb does it rhyme with?
Oh, I don't know.
Well, let's go through all of them. Is it Schaumburg?
Oh, for Pete's sake.
Is it Naperville?
No.
Is it Lyle? Is it Downers Grove? Is it Woodridge?
Rhyme with Miller
it's a
Mark?
Beautiful suburb.
Is it Villa Park?
No.
Is it Elmwood
I
Park?
I do take dance lessons in Villa Park, though.
Does it have park in the title?
I'm not going to tell you where it is. I just don't want any of my close friends showing up. Right. The only one I'm allowing to be there is my mother and my husband and my sister and her husband. That's it.
Why don't you just do it at your house, then?
Well, there will be other people there.
Well, then I got to clean, and then I'm going to have to cook.
I got to clean the toilets. You know, so I got to do that anyway.
It's just, my dress doesn't fit right.
Yeah,
why don't you like your dress?
It's very tight. I don't know.
Well, I ordered it from China, and now it's too tight. I didn't even want to eat a muffin this morning.
TMI.
Yeah. I bet you look fabulous.
Oh, I don't know. It's just troubling me. I'll be glad when it's over.
Nobody knows.
Well, when you order dresses from China, you have to order them a size, you know.
Larger.
Bigger, yes.
Yeah, I've done that. Oh,
in all seriousness, is that really a big thing?
It's
like
true.
Ordering dresses from China?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, because, you know, they're a little cheaper.
Chinese is on. It's
and
like Amazon.
Ballroom dresses are super expensive.
Yeah,
they can cost thousands of dollars.
That's the kind of money I spend.
I'm not that good yet. I'm not spending that kind of money.
Well, I like that you said yet. You're still committed to this. You're addicted. You're addicted to
addicted.
Dancing in public.
I love it. It's very fun. It's great exercise, and my feet hurt today.
And you always loved it, too, when you were at Illinois, didn't you?
Oh, is
weren't
it
you
a
in
Linette?
Some dance
I was in a Linette. That really wasn't dancing. That was
well, let's go
marching,
to the clip.
Dancing.
Let's go to the clip of Mary as in a Linette.
Oh, boy. Okay. Is that the one I fall down in my shoes?
No. Did you fall?
I did fall once in my boots. Yes, I tripped backwards, marching backwards. It was not pretty. I got up very quickly, though.
Well, congratulations on you. What suburb are you in again?
Yes. Michigan City.
Michigan City, Indiana. Wow, that seems like quite a drive. Hillary Clinton appeared with Zach Galifianakis on the Between Two Ferns show, which, if you heard Dean talking about this yesterday, apparently opens, because I've not seen the clip, but we're going to hear a montage of it here. But the it opens with her sitting in a chair and Zach Galifianakis sneaking up on her in a mask and Secret Service tackling him. So here's a little bit. And again, if you don't know Zach Galifianakis, what are we talking about here? We're talking about The Hangover. We're talking about The Candidate. Funny, very odd stand-up comedian, okay? And he hosts this show, which is picture a terrible cable access show called Between Two Ferns, where there's literally two chairs situated between two ferns on a very sparse stage. And celebrities come on and they sit down and they talk to him. In this case, Secretary Clinton.
Not to take away from the historic significance of you perhaps becoming the first female president, but for a younger generation, you will also become their first white president. And that's pretty neat, too. As secretary, how many words per minute could you type? And how does President Obama like his coffee? Like himself? Weak? What happens if you become pregnant? Are we going to be stuck with Tim Kaine for 9 months? How does this work?
I could send you some pamphlets that might help you understand. I'm not down with TPP.
No, you're supposed to say, yeah, you know me. Like the hip-hop group.
Don't tell me what to say.
Fine, lose. Country goes to sh**. Let's talk about Trump.
Let's.
When you see how well it works for Donald Trump, do you ever think to yourself, oh, maybe I should be more racist? When he's elected president and Kid Rock becomes Secretary of State, are you going to move to Canada or one of the Arctics?
I would stay in the United States.
And what would you try to?
Try to prevent him from destroying the United States.
So you're going to lead the Civil War? Any regrets over losing the Scott Baio vote?
Not a one.
So it wasn't heartbreaking that...
No.
Yeah, but Chachi, I mean, who's going to be next? Max Headroom? I'd love to meet the person who makes your pantsuits.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because for Halloween, I wanted to go as a librarian from outer space.
I really regret doing this.
Oh, that's perfect description of those pantsuits.
That is so good.
Yeah. And I'm telling you, you gotta have a sense of humor if you're going to do that. So why doesn't she show it more?
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Thanks. Have a great rest of the day. Go Cats.
How about two in a row? Coach Fitz in just a second. First, Sandberg, who was the winner? Who were the winners of the first pair or two of tickets for tomorrow night's stand-up comedy extravaganza?
Did you give the answer to the question?
Question was again what, John?
The question was, the Chicago River is the only river in the world that does what? And the answer is...
I don't know.
Dave wants to answer this. Dave?
It flows upstream.
Okay, that is wrong, Dave. Thank you very much.
It turns green.
Yes. Yes, go ahead.
It flows backwards.
Backwards is correct. Backwards is correct.
That's what I meant. Okay.
Yes.
Same thing.
Yes.
And we had two winners?
Two winners. Mike Camp and Steve Timian. And I guess you guys have a bad reputation because Steve refused to give his email as well because he doesn't want to be on a list.
Okay.
I love when listeners go, I don't want to be on some mailing list. Let me just get this.
He has a Yahoo account.
Let me just rest easy here. There is no mailing list on this show. We're not selling your information.
No.
He said, I'm not going to do that.
Like, not okay, yet.
Steve. Yeah. So.
7:13. Let's go to Coach Fitz and congratulate Coach Fitz. By the way, sponsored by
the Fields Auto Group.
Nice win, Coach, and put it to him good.
Yeah, you know, I'm really proud of the guys, the way they responded, and look forward to a great challenge tomorrow night against the Nebraska football team that's playing outstanding.
What's the magic move midweek last week that changes the, you know, effort, not effort, but outcome of the first two games?
Well, I don't know if there was anything magic. I think we just got back to, you know, really trying to raise our standards and our expectations and what we do and how we do things. And, you know, again, first and foremost, the credit goes to our young men. I mean, I think they were just tired of playing, you know, really subpar. And they did something about it. They worked their tails off. They had a great week of practice. And, you know, I think that carried over into the game. And then same thing this week. They came out, you know, very focused, ready to go. And they put a great week together. Now we get, you know, tonight off our legs and, you know, get ready to go tomorrow night.
I think we may have talked about this at some point in the past. But, you know, great coaching is a little bit babysitting, a little bit being a dad, a little bit disciplinarian, a little bit coaching, a little bit of everything. And different guys respond to different things. That's pretty tough to do when you got a football team and, you know, 50, 60, 70, 80 kids. But you got to do some of that, I would guess, right?
Yeah, we got 106 right now on the roster, and they're all motivated a little bit differently. But at the same time, there's a standard that we've tried to create and a culture that we've tried to create, and our guys do a terrific job. You know, the issue that you have is, you know, how do you handle success and how do you handle momentary failure, you know, when you don't get what you want? And, you know, it really comes back to the choices that you make and the way that you respond, and typically it's your attitude. You know, the guys have done a fairly good job of that, and there's been some guys that have been very inconsistent, and you just got to go play the next play and get, you know, have a short memory. Remember what happened, but have a short memory and get back and go play, and, you know, hopefully we'll continue to do that here as we kick off Big Ten play.
One of your best players is one of the best linebackers in the country. You've said he may be the best who's ever played at Northwestern, Anthony Walker Jr., who had a real strong game last week, and people have been kind of waiting for him to have a breakout game like he had so many times last year. Was this maybe the beginning for him?
You know, I hope so, Dave. You know, he missed a couple weeks of training camp with an injury, and I think it set him back a little bit. You know, this is a sport that you have to practice. You just can't, you know, show up on game day and think everything's going to work out. So, you know, really proud of the way that he's responded. He's put two really good weeks in a row together practicing also, and, you know, had a very productive game on Saturday.
Speaking of Walker, and he's a guy obviously you're going to need against Tommy Armstrong Jr. and this Nebraska offense tomorrow. I was on a radio show in Lincoln this week, and they asked me, why does Northwestern always get up for Nebraska? And I flipped around and said, well, why does Nebraska always get up for Northwestern? I mean, this is it's been a very competitive Big Ten series. You should be 3-0 there. They're 2-0 here. The games have all been close. But why do you think this series has been as tight and hotly contested as it's turned out?
Well, I'll go back to when Coach Pelini was there. You know, he and I have a great relationship. And now, you know, Mike Riley and I are board of trustee members for our coaching association, so we've known each other for a long time. So I think, first of all, I think it starts with respect. I think both coaching staffs really respect each other. You know, the players on both sides, I think, play their rear ends off every game. You know, I don't think we get up any different for Nebraska
right
than we do against anybody else. You know, I think this is just one of those games that, what is it, four of the last five have been decided by 3 points or less. Mm-hmm. So should be an entertaining game tomorrow night. And, you know, I know our guys are fired up for the opportunity.
Your linebacker, Walker, who you think may be the best ever, is he better than a young Pat Fitzgerald?
Well, there's no doubt he's much more athletic. I could be his caddy, I guess. I don't think I would have any shot challenging Anthony athletically. But, you know, I just want him to play the best of his ability. That's all we ask all of our guys to do. And same thing with Ant. I think he tried to do a little bit too much in the first couple games, and he really settled down last week, and I'm proud of the way he responded.
What are you doing tonight? Well, you got the night off. You're going to kick back, watch some cartoons?
Yeah, you know, that's a great question, actually. Tonight's a really special night. Tonight's the Northwestern Athletic Department Hall of Fame inductions.
And oh, cool.
Coach Walker is being inducted to the Hall of Fame tonight, and it'll be great to hear from Tammy Walker. And then tomorrow, Tammy and Walker family will be our honorary captains. And we have a tradition that we carried over from Coach Walk, our trust yourself board, trusting your preparation, trusting everything that you do, and just go out and play. And typically our director of football operations, Cody Shada, holds that board. Tomorrow to honor Coach Walk, we're going to have Jamie Walker hold that trust yourself board as our guy.
Wow.
And
our
leader field. So special weekend. And, you know, we're also going to, you know, really try to do our best to honor the Fultz family. You know, Nebraska lost their punter over the summer, Sam Fultz. So we'll wear a sticker to honor he and his family and the Nebraska family. So Special weekend here in Evanston, and looking forward to the challenge, getting out there and playing in front of our students for the second time.
Dave, will you be there tonight?
I will be there tonight, yeah.
Are you emceeing?
I am emceeing. It's always a wonderful night.
I am telling you.
This will be a special one. It really will be.
Yeah.
And Coach Fitz, is there a better utility player than Dave Ennett? The guy just, he's got five tools, man. He does everything.
Stop it.
He's not a utility guy. He's a Hall of Famer. You know, I mean, how could you not be stoked up with having a Hall of Famer on your sideline?
Got it, right? Believable.
And he never gets injured.
No.
I know.
No, the way he's flailing around in the broadcast booth, somebody could get their eye poked out.
It's very true. Very true. But it should be a great night. And we're looking forward to it. It should be a great night tomorrow. Great atmosphere last Saturday night, I thought, with the students back. So I know they'll be out in big numbers tomorrow night.
Yeah. Full building, right?
I would think so.
Yeah. We hope so. All right, Coach. Go Cats.
Appreciate it. Go Cats. Have a great weekend.
See you later.
And again, Coach Fitz, sponsored by the Fields Auto Group.
/7:24, Friday night's date night. Some education for you on how to talk to girls in just a second. First, John has another question. We're giving away tickets for tomorrow night's stand-up comedy show. It is Pat McGann, Rocky Laporte, John DeCoste, and me live on stage tomorrow night at Governor State University at 7 o'clock. Get your tickets again. How, John?
You can go online to centertickets.net or contact the box office directly at 708-235-2222.
All right, question number two for free tickets this morning.
Question number two. These are all Chicago trivia questions. Although there is no question that most people believe that this invention totally sucks, it was invented in Chicago in 1868.
1868. What's the clue again?
This invention totally sucks.
I have an idea, but first correct caller, 312-981-7200. Quick question for the men in the room. Do you know how to talk to girls? Let's go to Jake first. Jake, you're confident? Do you know how to talk to girls?
Absolutely not.
Yeah, I don't think you do either. John, how about you? You know how to talk to girls?
Yeah, I chase them or throw them into the locker.
Yeah, no, I don't think that's going to work. How about you, Dave? You know how to talk to girls?
Girls you know?
If you have to ask, Dave.
Because Dave's always in a bar picking up other girls.
Hot item on Facebook, a fifth grader wrote 7 rules for how to talk to girls.
Oh, no.
You ready?
Yep.
Don't touch my shoulders. Don't touch my shoulders. Personal space.
That's the opener?
Well, no, these are rules.
Oh, these are rules.
Yeah, these are rules. These are rules.
My God, that's a heck of a come on.
So he's saying this to the girl, don't touch my shoulder?
How do you know it's a he? Maybe it's a girl that wrote these rules.
You shouldn't touch their shoulder.
Oh, you said a fifth grader? Oh, you said a fifth grader.
Are these 5-year-olds that we know?
Fifth graders, not 5-year-olds.
Yeah, sorry. This is written by Noah, okay? So now that we've got all the extra questions that have nothing to do with this article. Okay.
Yes. And this all happens on an arc anyway, so what's the difference?
Tip number two, don't get behind me with all that foolishness. As a matter of fact, don't get behind me at all. Don't touch my shoulders. Don't get behind me. Okay?
Okay.
Tip number three, don't speak to me unless it's a greeting.
What?
You know, hi, how are you? I'm Steve. That kind of thing.
Okay.
Don't go up to somebody and go, you're pretty. Tip number four. Stop playing with me on the bus.
Wow.
Okay.
Wow. Again, a lot of this comes down to personal space. But you could advance this and apply this as adult rules as well.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Sure.
Yeah. You see an attractive female riding a bus, you don't go up and start playing with her. That's wrong.
And you obviously first greet her.
I have a short temper with people, and you ruin my day because you're too goofy. You play too much.
It's a little harsh.
I just think Noah had a rough morning.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Noah's in love, and she doesn't care. Reread 500 times. Reread 500 times. Don't act dumb. Don't act stupid. That's the point. Don't act stupid. Do what you need to do. Do your homework, for crying out loud.
Right.
And then, you like me, but I don't like you. I'm too young. Get a clue. So I think what we have here is a list from Noah that encompasses a really bad bus ride to school. Like, you know, there's a girl on the bus that he really likes. He goes up. He starts wrong by standing behind her and acting goofy.
And he touched her shoulder.
Acted a fool.
Touched her shoulder.
Then he touched her shoulders.
He didn't greet her.
He didn't greet her. No, he just went, "Hi, I'm Noah."
Yeah.
Which isn't really a greeting. It's more of a shout.
He started playing something with her.
Right.
Yes.
I was trying to think of something appropriate. On the bus.
But if Noah's listening now, I just want to tell Noah, you're overthinking it, buddy. You're overthinking it. Just relax. It's going to be just fine. Noah just flipped me off. It's 7:28. We'll get a winner for the latest question of John for tickets at 312-981-7200. Still to come on this show, Dan Hampton in a few minutes, and he won't be angry today.
Why won't he be angry?
Well, the Bears don't play till Sunday.
Yeah,
Monday.
He's still angry for Monday.
Monday he'll be angry. Brian Campbell later is the Blackhawks open camp today. Rahm Emanuel, you might know Rahm. He's the mayor of the city of Chicago. He'll be on after 8 o'clock, talk about a speech last night, which was really, I thought, an exceptional speech. Really, really, you know, moving in many ways. Chris Hansen, the new host of Crime Watch Daily after 8:30. And Kevin Powell, tough to book him, man. And Pat McGann, both in the 9 o'clock hour. At 7:28, we're back with a big story next on 720 WGN.
An animal!
Dan Hampton anchors a young Bears defense.
An animal!
It's time for Dan Hampton.
This is the Bears' new fight song.
Oh, come on. It's two games.
The Bears will be running out to this weekend. 7:39, the Hall of Famer, Dan Hampton, joins us. Good morning, Hamp. How are you?
Well, there's reason for optimism, eh? Yeah, I can tell by the music. You've exceeded the expectations.
Well, you know what I said yesterday to Dave Ennett? I said, listen, it wouldn't surprise me if the Bears magically got their act together and pulled off a win Sunday night, but it also wouldn't surprise me if they lost 51-0.
Pretty hard to figure this team. You know, and the opening week, the local contingent of expert newspaper analysts, they were all pretty confident the Texans would win, and then in the second game, everybody picked the Bears, and you know, so everybody's like, "Well, how can we be so wrong?" Well, you know, I've been alarmed about this team since the third preseason game of August, and you know, and let me just go back and say, you know, there's certain things if. Little Johnny doesn't study. Johnny's not going to do good on the test, and you've got to put the work, effort, and time in, and prepare properly. And this team has not done that. So, for us to you know, to be shocked that I promise you, I know I on Monday morning I was adamant saying, hey, this is a must win. They have got to win. Where do you go from here? So, you know, this is all just a huge crispy burn mark on the side of the road, and you're trying to figure out where you're going to go from here. So, you've got your quarterback out, you've got three of your best five defensive players out. You may have a couple of more that do not pass the concussion protocol and may not be ready. So, I think you're being a little optimistic, saying, "Well, they might win this game because the Dallas Cowboys, for all their flaws, they beat a Washington team last week in Washington. So they're capable. We're going to have to try to muster something pretty good here to get a win."
And Zach Efron's their quarterback, Dave Ennett.
Dak Prescott.
Oh, sorry. I thought it was Zach Efron. Dave, say hi to the hamster.
Hamp. All right. So let's look at the defense now. Everybody's been focused, understandably so, on Cutler and his absence, and Brian Hoyer expected to get the start this week, and Matt Barkley would be the backup. But let's look at the defense now. You've lost Lamar Houston. Willie Young is questionable. Eddie Goldman is out. You've got, as you mentioned, guys who are going through concussion protocol right now. Adrian Amos.
And Callahan.
And Bryce Callahan. What do you do defensively now? I suppose you've tried to build some depth over there, but you're going with guys now on the defensive side of the ball. Clearly, weren't the guys who won jobs, and now you turn to them as starters.
And these are the spots that you kind of find yourself in most of the time, week 12, week 14, 15. You don't normally see this in week 3. And a lot of the issues with the depth, Ryan Pace tried to address that. He drafted, four defensive backs in the draft back in the spring, and it was almost like he had a precursor, thinking, "Hey, I'm gonna have issues where I need to be able to turn to some of these young guys." But there's a lot of kids that had some time in the preseason that didn't play badly, but are they ready to go? You know, some of the safeties that would be up if Adrian Amos can't go would be DeAndre Houston Carson. That's a household name, right?
Right.
How about Deion Bush? He was inactive the first 2 weeks. Sherrick McManus is a kid that came in for Callahan on the nickel and did okay. You know, he had some issues late in the season last year that cost us a game or two. So, you know, here we are going to be relying on a bunch of these green rookies.
Well, spare bears. I mean, they sound like spare bears.
They really do, Steve. But, let's not forget the old maxim, hey, you got to get pressure. You got to rush the quarterback. It doesn't matter who the defensive backs are. Well, Willie Young was our best pass rusher the first 2 games of the season. As you said, he's nicked up. I kind of think he'll find a way to play. I sure hope he does. But Lamar Houston was the second best pass rusher. He's out for the season. The best defensive lineman, Eddie Goldman, who had made strides, was down in his weight. He had shown that he had paid a price. He was being more of a factor in the first 2 games. He's gone now for probably a month. So we're going to see Will Sutton, a guy that a lot of people didn't think would make the final roster.
Yeah, and he's questionable also.
Yeah, this is not a spot that a guy like John Fox, it's 0-2, that a lot of questions are being thrown about. Is this guy actually earning, the $5 million a year to be the head coach of the Bears? Because, if you look at the trajectory of this team, at the end of last season, there was a reason to believe, hey, we were close. We had a lot of, games where we lost by, 2, 3, 1 points. And if we just upgrade the talent, we get a little better, we have a chance. Well, after basically just being slapped around the opening 2 weeks of the season and now going into, the Dallas game with all these question marks, with the backups having to play, having to start, John Fox is starting to get on pretty shaky ground.
I think he's on shaky ground, too. And last question for you before we get to predictions here. Does a great quarterback elevate a team with personnel problems, regardless of what the roster looks like on a week like this?
It would. But, I got to tell you, who saw New England doing what they did last night?
Yeah, sure.
I got to tell you, Houston, took us apart. Then the Kansas City Chiefs, who beat them in the playoffs, came in last week, and Houston, slapped them around. And you're thinking, okay, well, here we're seeing a clear young team with some good players emerge, and they go up, and they're beaten by a rookie quarterback, nobody.
And the perfect game plan.
Third round. And so what do I know anymore? I'm just telling you, we've got a lot of issues here. Jay Cutler wouldn't mean an awful lot to this football team if he was playing. But, with the issues that we have, man, all I can tell you is the last game Brian Hoyer played as a starting quarterback in the NFL was in the state of Texas. and he was awful. He threw four interceptions in the first half, and, you know, will he be able to overcome that? Will he be able to put that behind him and bounce? Let's hope he does, but you and I both know that, you know, car wrecks like that, it's hard to walk away from.
Bears 21? No, I'm kidding. Cowboys 21, Bears 7. Dave?
I hate to say it. Dallas 31, Bears 13.
All right. 28-20. I've got to take the Cowboys. You know, and the thing is, obviously, we love the Bears. They have to earn our respect back because after what they did Monday night, I'm taking the Cowboys.
It's a great point, Hamp. We'll talk to you Monday morning and try to get a little sleep between post-game and Monday morning. Actually, you know what? For the sake of the show, don't get any sleep at all.
Yeah, it'll be better.
And I are going to stay there and do calisthenics until the pregame.
All right. All right. See you later. It's 7:48. We get traffic here. And Brian Campbell will join us in just a moment as Hawks Camp opens up today. Hamp, of course, brought to you by ChevyDriveChicago.com.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
Campbell's got the rebound. Up ahead it goes, Jokinen through center. And Huberto on the wing. Jokinen to the net. The drop for Campbell for the win. Yes, sir! Brian Campbell ends it off the feed from Huberto. And the Panthers win in Detroit again.
Soupy's come home. No more Panthers highlights. Now it's going to be one of the best shots in hockey. Finding the back of the net again for your Chicago Blackhawks. Camp opens in, I don't know, 5 or 6 minutes. And Soup's good enough to jump on a phone with us. How excited are you?
I'm really excited. I'm looking forward to getting going today. It should be fun. I know everybody's excited in the organization and around town, so it's a great day.
I'm trying to think of who's left from this season, the first cup of the run here. I mean, obviously Taves and Kane, Seabrook. Who else is here that was here when you were here?
Seabrook, Duncan, Hossa, Yarmolson.
Yeah, so there's a bunch.
Yeah, and a few guys still that were in the organization, too, so there's lots of guys.
And you and Hjalmarsson were the consistent line, weren't you?
Yeah, we played mostly all together that whole year, yes.
So I'm hoping that's going to be the line again. Are you still as fast as you were when you left?
I like to think so, but I'm not sure. Well, I still can get around, that's for sure.
I mean, you know this, Dave. Soup is one of the fastest guys in the league.
No question. Yeah.
And I always, it reminded me of, you remember how great it was? And I think I've told Soup this. You'd see Scottie Pippen dribble end-to-end in his heyday in the 90s. Mm-hmm. And it looked like a yo-yo. The ball was just attached to his hand. Yeah. Soup taking the puck the length of the ice, it was that kind of vibe.
That's right.
Yeah, you're Scottie Pippen with a hockey puck.
Oh, I appreciate that. I like the analogy there.
All right, so I want to invite you. We want to put the band back together. You remember when you and I used to do the show every week?
Yeah.
All right, so I want to invite you to do the show. You know, I mean, things will come up, but pretty much every week with us. Is that cool?
I would love to do that. I'm excited. That'd be great.
All right, so now we got Soup locked in. We got Q locked in.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, why not just go straight to the playoffs? Why even play the regular season?
Well, I think there's the matter of 82 games you
Seems
have to
like
play.
A formality to me.
Yeah, just real quick, Brian, as far as training camp, when you've been in the league as long as you have, it's not a real long training camp, obviously, but at this point, you guys stay in shape all year long. Is it more about hockey conditioning and just getting back on the ice for a few days to get back into to hockey shape? Is it more of a formality at this point for you?
Well, yesterday we had all our testing and everything, and pretty much nowadays everybody's in shape coming in. I think there is definitely another level of hockey to be in shape playing hockey and stuff. So I don't think most guys aren't very far from that. So today we'll have a little scrimmage and stuff and get geared up and some good practices. It'll be tough, but, you know, by the time next, I think it's Wednesday, rolls around with our first exhibition game, you're pretty much ready to go completely. So, you know, it's exciting. There's a lot of young guys coming in, but I think everybody looked good yesterday, so that's a good sign.
Were you thinking, Dave, with the longer off season and the summer to rest up, maybe a couple of the guys got big and fat?
I don't know. I
think maybe Seabrook would come in weighing 340.
No, I have a hunch he didn't.
I think you'll be. I don't think you'd be allowed to go on the ice today. So.
No, Q might be a little upset with that. So what? You got like a minute here. What does the first practice look like? Y'all stand in a circle and share your names and how you spent your summer.
Yeah, we have to write our name on a name tag.
Hello, my name is.
Put it on our helmet. It's like hockey school when you're growing up. That's the name on your hockey helmet.
Right.
Today I got a practice, and then we scrimmage, and I think the other group, there's two groups. The other group scrimmages against us, and then they practice afterwards. So should be a good day.
Ran into a bunch of fans yesterday out at the Trickster Gallery who will give tickets for tomorrow, and they can't wait to see Brian Campbell. So it'll be, you know, expect the fans to show a lot of appreciation for you being back. But, you know, I'm thrilled you're back. And I appreciate the friendship, but also being part of the show. So we'll have some fun this year. Don't be late. Go see Q.
No, I'm heading there right now, so I'll be there on time.
All right, buddy. Thanks. Talk to you soon.
Thanks for having me, guys.
That's Brian Campbell. I believe Soup is, and correct me if I'm wrong, mm-hmm. 71 years old.
No, he's not.
That's probably not right. No, he's 37, though, I think, isn't he?
I believe so.
Yeah.
But he's
in great shape.
Yeah.
And he's so fast.
He had a good year last year.
Yeah.
It's going to be a difference maker.
It's going to be fun. It's going to be a lot of fun. And, you know, Q doesn't ask me these things. He should. Mm-hmm. But he doesn't ask me for advice on these things. But he and Hammer on that line again, how much fun would that be?
I think you ought to just call him up or text him. Why don't you text him?
We haven't talked much this summer. You think he's mad at me?
Yeah, he's probably... No.
Let's
never.
Wait till the regular season before he's mad at me.
Ladies and gentlemen,
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world,
some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you?
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, Hollywood. You know I love you more than what I should. Yeah, Hollywood. Well, kiss me, kiss me.
8:12, Dean's live at Channel 9. Good morning.
Hola.
How are you, buddy?
I'm very well.
Let's talk about some movies. What's coming out?
We've got your Denzel Washington, Magnificent Seven. Good old, shoot 'em up popcorn western fun. Mm-hmm. Denzel Washington, Chris Pratt, Ethan Hawke, huge ensemble. Violent but not bloody. PG-13. I liked it. You just want to go have some fun with a western. Gave it a Dean's List B+.
All right. What else?
We've got this really uplifting movie called Queen of Katwe. It's a story of a young girl who lives in the slums of Uganda, completely poverty-stricken, but shows a talent for the game of chess. She's coached by a soccer coach and is able to progress into the national championships of the country. Lupita Nyong'o is in the movie, plays her mother. David Oyelowo is in the movie. Really nice, uplifting, a little gritty, but ultimately a very uplifting movie. Give that one a Dean's List B. There's also an animated movie out this week that I thought was hugely disappointing, like really generic, really nothing special, called Storks, about a group of, oddly enough, storks. Who deliver they deliver packages for like an Amazon-like company, like real-life human drones, sort of, instead of babies. Some people in the movie think they should go back to delivering babies, because, you know, that's how babies come, Steve. I don't know if you know that.
I knew that, yeah. When a mommy and a daddy love each other very much, a stork brings a baby.
A stork brings them a baby, yeah. But now brings them products from... this big company. I didn't think it was funny.
Kind of dumb.
I thought the whole thing was kind of stupid. I gave it a Dean's List D. Maybe super little kids, you know, because it's colorful. It's mm-hmm. basically like rattling your keys.
Well, normally just color and rattling their keys will entertain you for an hour.
normally. This one, not able to do so. So
all right. And then all morning long with the monitors for Channel 9 on, we keep looking up, and you and your buddy Lin-Manuel Miranda are hanging
too
out.
Too bad we haven't been showing that at all.
Yeah, over and over again, which is great. Now, Lin-Manuel Miranda looks like he has a new hairstyle.
He chopped his hair because he's not playing Alexander Hamilton in the musical in New York anymore. He stepped aside in July, so now he's got just, you know, like a regular guy haircut. So he was in Chicago last night. He was being honored by the National Museum of Puerto Rican Arts and Culture, which is literally in Humboldt Park. It's the most amazing building, a very historic, one-time stable that was in Humboldt Park that has been completely restored. It is absolutely gorgeous. They had a huge event there last night honoring him for his commitment to the arts and so forth. And our own Anna Balaval was the host of that event last night. But I got the first broadcast interview with him on the air yesterday during our WGN Midday News, which we're going to play back in its entirety, by the way, on Sunday. We talked about lots and lots of different things. But one of the things significant, I mean, here's the biggest guy on Broadway right now talking about how important the city of Chicago's theater scene is.
Chicago was always going to be the next stop. It's the best theater town in the United States, full stop. The way you support theater, the way the caliber of talent that comes out of Chicago. Thank you for Jesse Mueller. We're never giving her back. it was always going to be our next stop because it's such an incredible town for theater.
So we talked about, he's going to be in the Mary Poppins sequel. We talked about his amazing Love is Love is Love is Love speech that he gave at the Tony Awards, talked more about the Chicago production of Hamilton. By far, what everybody is talking about is at the end of the interview, he's a freestyle rapper. He started off, just with a bunch of buddies, and they would freestyle rap at each other.
That's how I got into the business.
Make stuff up or on the spot.
Sure.
Steve and other people who have that skill, it's quite amazing. So I wanted to know if he would do something like that for us, especially for the Cubs.
Do you still have your freestyling chops from, back in the day where, you would be able to just freestyle something?
I think I got some game.
Because here's what we've got going on here, Lynn. I'm sure that our Chicago Cubs are in the playoffs. That doesn't happen, very often. Can you bring some of that Hamilton mojo
to our
Chicago Cubs?
I have a condition, right?
I know you're a New Yorker.
No, not that. It's right. If a reporter asks me to freestyle, they have to provide the beatbox.
Okay, you got that. What do you need?
Yeah.
Don't leave me hanging with this.
No, you got to give me a beat. There you go. We're live, and he's beatboxing. Oh, my gosh. And I'm going to try to rock sing. Yeah, try to win it for the Cubbies. All of the wives, please hug all of your hubbies. Yeah, I know what it means. I have a good friend. His name is Mr. Sam Levine, and he is screaming for you all to win. But I root for the Yankees because I'm a New Yorker and I'm Lynn.
There you go.
Wow, that's pretty good.
There you go.
It's pretty good. And by the way, pretty good, I mean him. Isn't it great that you asked him to freestyle a rap, and I would assume you were more tense and nervous about doing the beatbox thing?
I have. You'll find it hard to believe I've never beatboxed in my life.
Come on.
That was my first beatboxing ever.
That's a shock to me.
Dan Ponce here this morning on the WGN Morning News. He's a very accomplished musician himself.
Yeah.
Actually told me he would kill me if I ever beatboxed ever again.
It's funny, I feel the same way about him singing Frozen.
That said, Chance the Rapper in Common called me this morning and asked me if I would come and lay down some tracks at their festivals.
Well, I think it'd be cool if you actually went out with Chance and you were No Chance I'm a Rapper.
My rap name was going to be Baldy D, but I think I like yours better. No Chance I'm a Rapper.
Yeah, just write it down.
I'm totally stealing that.
Yeah, please, it's free. Yeah. You're on Sunday?
I am. Lin-Manuel Miranda.
The full interview,
plus a couple of unknown actors named Denzel Washington and Chris Pratt.
Tax.
Sunday morning.
All right, buddy. That's day in short today because Mayor Emanuel is scheduled to appear in moments.
This is the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio.
WGN Chicago.
720 WGN.
823. It's a difficult job. You want it? You be the mayor of Chicago for a couple of days. And while Mayor Emanuel and I have certainly had differences in the past, I got to tell you, I was really moved by his speech last night. One, I love his passion for this city that we all love and we all want better for. And we're tired of this national image of the city, which just isn't true. He brought out good news about the city. He also brought out some information that most of us weren't aware of about a corporate partnership to mentor kids. And made some very specific recommendations, requests, and demands when it comes to violence and saving lives. Mayor Emanuel joins us this morning. I thought it was a terrific speech, Mayor.
Well, thank you, Steve.
Yeah.
It's something all of us have a role to play. And, I was ran with the police this morning. I went to weightlift in the academy, and I ran into a young man that I hadn't run into. He was just weightlifting, and a cadet. And he comes up to me, and I really can't say enough about this young man, Mr. Kaufman. He said, "I wanted to talk to you about the speech. Do you mind?" This is while I'm waiting. And I said, "No." He goes, "I really liked it." Now, I thought, this tells you why we all have to kind of be open-minded.
Right.
I thought when he said that, he was going to talk about, standing up for cops or,
Sure.
I go, "Well, what did you like?" He goes, "I love your section about mentoring. I was a mentor. And that's what made me decide to become a police officer, because I think we can change lives.
How great is that?
And change the way we do things." And so it was not about I stood for police or I did, talked about this new technology and I thought that's what he was going to say. But he was a mentor. And it was being a mentor to young men that led him to become a police officer.
Well, in his big world of...
Go ahead.
Okay. No, I was going to say, in this big world of what do we do about the problem, I think you've got two or three real hardcore solutions in there. And thank goodness that the corporate folks have stepped up. I know you thanked them last night, but talk a little bit about that program.
Well, later on today, I'm going to go participate in a Becoming a Man round group. My wife's going to do the sister program called WOW at another school. And our corporate partners have...
We hit a bad cell. We'll see if he comes back here before we... is he in Chicago's only tunnel? We'll check with that cell because we lost him there for a second. 826, talking to Mayor Emanuel about last night's speech that he made on violence in Chicago and a crime in Chicago and the relationship with police in Chicago. And as he mentioned there a moment ago, got up this morning and he ran with cadets, with recruits, with cops, and was speaking of this young man in the weight room that he was talking to. And in case you missed the speech last night, the part that he and the young man in the weight room were talking about was this mentoring program. Because, as Mayor Emanuel rejoins us, because the kids have to have a choice where the choice is not be a man. You mentioned this last night. Be a man, join a gang. That can't be a choice.
Well, Steve?
Yeah, we're back.
I'm sorry about that.
That's fine.
Look, for years, the vice lords, the gangster disciples, have been offering kids to be a mentor, have been offering kids to be their role model. And the deck was stacked against these kids, from poverty to cultural, economic, all types of dysfunction. And if we give these kids a mentor, like a Becoming a Man, we give them an alternative like 100 Black Men, we give them an alternative like Let's Make a Man, they will pick a place with a moral foundation, a structure, and a discipline to make good choices the rest of their lives. And I gotta be honest, the deck has been stacked against them. We're gonna reshuffle the deck, and we're gonna put our kids on the top of that deck. And every one of the corporate echelon, People's Gas, Bank of America, I called Jimmy John this morning to thank him again for his 3-year commitment.
Right.
And his mentor, now here's this story. His mentor heard the speech and was flipping over and called Jimmy to say, "Thank you for doing what you're doing and remember what we did."
Wow.
When you get fortunate, to many who is given much, much is expected.
Right.
And each one of these companies and individuals, and I'm not going to rest until others step up so we can do more, we're going to get every one of these young men on the doorstep of adulthood, the moral education, and the moral compass to make right decisions that point them in the right direction the rest of their lives. And our corporations have to do that in mentoring and also on the job opportunities. And they have stepped up.
Let's talk about the cops for a second, because as you said, you ran with them this morning. What's your assessment of the morale with all the news going on around the country? And are you going to be able to find the money to hire the extra cops?
Well, we're going to find the money because I told the budget team a month and a half ago, this is the number one priority. Every decision is being made around this priority.
Good.
I think, I talked to Superintendent Johnson. There's no doubt this was a shot in the arm to the police when I said we're going to add more personnel and more technology and more training. And all of those work together. The officers have to be trained into the conditions that they're going to be facing. But I also think, and one officer told me personally, thanks for standing up. Now, I stood up for them because I really do believe the public's support of them is essential for their effectiveness.
Totally agree.
If you want police to be effective, you have to support them. Now, they don't get a blank check, not like we did in the years past. No matter what happens, they get a blank check. No. But the first step, we support them. The second step, simultaneously, they earn that support. And that's why I talked about the two videos. There can be zero tolerance for tormenting, taunting, and being disrespectful for police. Zero in the city.
Right. And the communities. You were going to say the part of this is speech last night. The communities need to stand up and make sure that the police are treated with respect. But you talked about the respect the other way as well.
Yes. I mean, if every, you know, I say this in every cadet, police graduation, every encounter with a resident is a teaching moment and is a moment where people pull away. So when a person turns to you for help and looks to you for help, you can't disrespect them.
Right.
You can't, I mean, especially if they're a victim of a robbery, which is the situation I was talking about. So you can't expect the public to support you if you're disrespectful to an individual, a resident, because the first word of the oath, here to serve and protect. And the serve part is not after the protect part. And so you have to earn it, but we have to give it because they are facing gangs and guns, and they are our effort to bring security throughout the city.
Well, I know your guys are on top of this, calling other companies in town about the mentoring side of things, but I hope people who got caught wind of the speech last night, we heard it all live here and saw it on the news last night, will be moved by it as well. But as I said in the intro, I love your emotion for the city. I love your passion for the city. And, listen, just to keep up the fight. That's it.
Of course. Well, this is our home. This is our fight, not my fight. And here's the one thing I said to, somebody said something to me the other day, and I said, look, I'll do my job. I ran for mayor. I'm the leader of the city. I get that. But this is not this debate, or rather this issue of safety, it's not mine alone.
Absolutely not.
It's yours also. So everybody has a role to play. There'll be the professional critics. I get it. Look, put your shoulder to the wheel. Look at what we've done in our schools for our kids. So everybody has a role to play. Everybody has to contribute to a solution. It's easy to be sitting in the back seats and throw darts. I'm looking for people that want to get in the arena and make a difference.
Thanks for the time, Mayor. I appreciate it. Enjoy your day.
Thank you. You too.
That's Mayor Rahm Emanuel. And as I said, we aired the entire speech last night, which I thought was great as well. And I believe it's online. I know you can find it online, but I believe it's at WGNRadio.com. If not, you can certainly pick it up online. But I bang on the mayor all the time, and a lot of times he deserves it. But he also deserves credit where credit's due. And what he said last night and the emotion that he shared with the city last night, let's work with him. Let's work with him. Let's work with the cops. Let's work with the neighborhoods. Let's all try to make it a little better. And the point always comes down to this. Look around your own neighborhood. It's that hula hoop analogy. Getting outside a hula hoop, anything you can see from your standing inside your hula hoop, fix that part of your world first. And everything around it's going to get better. It's 8:32. We'll come back with a big story next on 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show, 720 WGN.
8:43, Chris Hansen got real famous real fast from being a solid reporter and a very good reporter when he did To Catch a Predator and started putting away bad guys. I got to a point with To Catch a Predator. Did you guys watch it? You always wanted the bad guy to get caught, but when you see the bad guy, you go, oh, man, I just want to get to the house and just break his neck.
Yeah, yeah. I always wanted to redo the kitchen.
Chris Hansen joins me now as he is now hosting Crime Watch Daily, which, Chris, am I right about this? Isn't this a fine Tribune Media Company product? Don't we own this show?
It is. It's right on WGN at 3 o'clock in Chicago, Monday through Friday.
Well, there you go. Welcome to the company.
Well, thank you very much.
The work you did on To Catch a Predator, it was important work to do. And do you even know how many bad guys you caught and helped put away?
Yeah, I think right around 300. And, in this new investigation, Hansen versus Predator, which is a, signature part of Crime Watch Daily, we, go out and do it again. And imagine this, Steve. When we started the Predator investigations, we merely had decoys in chat rooms on AOL and Yahoo. That was it. Well, today, the entire landscape has changed. I mean, there are so many social platforms on which kids are communicating, and adults know where to find the kids. And it's a whole different world out there. And as we saw again in the latest investigation, 11 guys in 3.5 days, ranging from a Boston insurance executive to a guy who was on the list to become a police officer in a community in Connecticut, to a guy I had known from the commuter train who came to meet a 13-year-old boy.
Yeah, and the thing people need to remember, and this is the only good news out of the Anthony Weiner story, is this exposes the fact that this is not the creep down the street who you tell the kids to avoid. This could be anybody. It could be absolutely exactly. anybody, including a U.S. congressman.
You know, admittedly, we get some rangy-looking characters surface in our investigations, but the vast majority of these guys don't stand out of a crowd. And you talk about the Weiner case. We did a story on it on yesterday's Crime Watch Daily. And, you know, here he was communicating with somebody he knew was a 15-year-old girl. And it doesn't matter whether she reached out to him first.
Of course it doesn't. No.
You know, he knew, you know, and he gave me a statement, you know, saying that he'd used bad judgment in the past and in this case. And a letter, and this is kind of weird, a letter that was purportedly written by the girl to a teacher of hers, somewhat attempting to exonerate Weiner of any, you know, bad activity. And so I don't know whether it was coerced or it was suggested she write that, or it was just very odd, you know, but those two things are what he gave me for his side of the story.
It sounds like an odd question maybe, but do you ever feel bad for any of these people that get caught?
Yeah, sometimes. I mean, I think some of them are, you know.
I mean, did they know they're sick? Do they know they need help?
They sometimes admit that to me. I mean, we had a kid, he was an adult, but he was a young adult, show up in this last case, and it went from, you know, me taking a prosecutorial tone to me taking a almost fatherly tone, just saying, look, this is a bad situation, but the guys outside are going to take you to a place and get you help because you need to get yourself squared away here. I mean, the kid was, you know, I'm not a psychologist, but, you know, he had issues, and he was only, you know, 20 years old, and it's like, man, you got to get some help.
Right, and you can't. And at 20 years old, you can still turn your life around. But then the flip side of that you have people with success and money and means, which goes all the way from kids to the exploitation of someone like Bill Cosby. And these people have to be stopped. And the sad thing, Chris, and you know this again and again, whether it's a young woman or women in general, and certainly boys, when you sexually exploit somebody, they feel like they can't tell other people. And I think one of the more important things that can come out of Crime Watch Daily and the way you handle this is giving people the strength to step forward because they have to know it's not just them.
Well, that's exactly right. I mean, I get approached all the time. You know, I'm in New York City and back and forth and in the suburbs. And, you know, just in the course of my day, I mean, I can't tell you how many times somebody has pulled me in a corner and said, thank you, it happened to me. And it breaks my heart because, you know, even when you don't have the time to listen, when somebody wants to tell you that story, you know, it's not going to turn into a television story, but you know, they got to get it off their chest. And some of these people, guys and gals, have been carrying this around with them for years and years and years, and the damage is tremendous.
What else do you focus on Crime Watch Daily?
Oh, we got everything going on. We're, you know, all over the country, and obviously, as we said, Chicago on GN at 3 o'clock, but we do investigative stuff, hidden camera stuff. Today we have this crazy case out of Las Vegas where these bodybuilding phenoms got involved in this crazy murder. We go down to Phoenix, Arizona today where, you know, I take a look at that wild and very frightening serial shooter case where 7 people have been killed in the last couple months. Interview, you know, a survivor, a guy who came face-to-face with the killer, and the guy just missed him. He was in his car with his 4-year-old nephew, and 5 shots and none of them hit miraculously. So we take a look at that. Next week we've got a case of a Chicago teen who, you know, killed her mother in Bali. And so we go all over the place. I mean, we're in 208 markets, so we get, you know, information fed to us from all over the country. And there's no place we won't go.
And that's the thing too. You've got to have a staff that's able to pull it and decide which stories you're going to cover and which stories you have time to cover.
Well, that's exactly right. And, you know, we have a lot of time, you know, to do these stories and do them right, you know, 5 days a week, an hour a day. And it's a really great team. We've got some super correspondents, you know, working along with me doing these stories. And you know, I'm out in the field, too. So it's a busy time, but it's a great show. It's a perfect fit for me. And we're doing really well. We're into the second week already.
Well, when you get to the tower, come see us because we still, until further notice, have the best office in America on Michigan Avenue.
I can't wait. I was born in Chicago. Actually.
I know you were. Yeah, I knew that.
Yeah.
All right, Chris, all the best. Congrats on the gig, and welcome to the company again.
Absolutely. Can't wait to stop by.
All right, see you about Chris Hansen from Crime Watch Daily, which, you know, they do a lot of work in 1 hour a day, but in the real world of TV news, where you have no time to cover anything, an hour a day is a really big deal. So hopefully you'll be able to get more creeps off the street. That's what they should call it, creeps off the street. Wintrust Community Banks Hour continues, 8:54 now. You know, we have an HR department here which handles the appropriate HR problems, but we also have SR, that's Steve Resources, when there's a staff issue or there's stuff that needs to come up. And sometimes stuff will come up which, frankly, ought to be kept quiet. But I feel if it's good for the show, you should talk about it. So here's Sandberg.
Okay, so you know there are a few refrigerators in the building.
We have one here in the producer's booth. We have one in the green room. We have a couple upstairs.
The one down here in the producer's booth has a bottle of French dressing, which I always wonder, like, what are you doing with
it? It's a therapy Ro uses.
And like checks the four cans of date. Bush.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like Bush, the beer.
Well, that's needed. But there's a refrigerator, a rather tiny refrigerator in the newsroom. And this morning it had this note on it, which I will post on our social media. Taco Bell. Cheesy bean and rice burritos in fridge. Help yourself! Exclamation point. Now, I'm not going to eat a cheesy bean and rice burrito, which is in the fridge. However, I was told by our engineer, who was interested in eating one of them, that when he opened the refrigerator, there weren't any left. So the person that took the last one, isn't it their responsibility to remove the note?
Yeah, take the sign down. Yeah, the sign's a tease.
There's so much junk in there, though. How can you tell where it even is or what it would be?
I think we should make this a responsibility of whoever's here at midnight. At midnight, everybody goes through. They take the notes off the refrigerator. Matter of fact, clean the refrigerators.
No, the people that
Mary,
trust me, I'm the Friday cleaner of the refrigerator, and I abandoned my route last week because I was so frustrated.
Well, let's go to your subconscious on this. Is that true, subconscious?
It's always a mess. It stinks, and I think it's Grisanage. That's who I think it is.
Yeah, probably is.
I did not say that.
Probably is. Yeah.
Man. If it's not Grisanage,
no, you didn't say it.
Slap you down.
You didn't say it. Your subconscious said it.
Yes, I know. But, you know, people leave stuff in. People think that the refrigerator is their one at home where they can bring in a condiment and leave it in there for months.
Yeah, that's like the
because they
never,
use it once
ever,
in a while.
Ever use the refrigerators at work other than to chill a bottle of water.
To me, the work refrigerator should be everyday food. No. So you bring your food in your sack lunch.
If you bring in yogurt.
You bring it every day. You eat it that day. You don't leave it in there all week. Well, you know, I'm going to eat a grape every day, so I need to bring the whole bunch.
I've turned
in.
Into more of a germaphobe. The older I've gotten, the more of a germaphobe I've gotten. I don't want you people touching my stuff. I'm like a guy from Stripes. Get your mitts off my stuff.
I just got three packets
Francis.
Of Arthur Treacher's sauce. So I'm pretty
pumped. Oh, you're the one
fantastic.
That left it in.
So I don't
to answer your question, Sandberg, here on Steve Resources, SR. Yes, someone should have taken the note down. You take the last bean burrito, take the note down. How hard is that?
The cheesy bean and rice burrito. Like, who even wants cheesy bean and rice? Is like horrible. Where's
speaking of Kevin Powell, he'll be on next hour.
So anyway, I'll take this sign down when I clean the refrigerator.
And last Friday, our president, Jimmy DeCastro, was cleaning the refrigerator over next to our office.
Yeah, he wasn't happy about it. Yeah. You know what I told him? Find another job. It's 8:57, and tell you what, I was going to play a Pat McGann clip here, but let's save that. Pat will be on with us in your next hour. But, John, why don't you give us another question? If you would ask another question, maybe we'd have another answer.
Perfect.
And we'd have more tickets for tomorrow night's show.
Perfect.
Where you and I and Pat McGann and Rocky Balboa will be live. Oh, it's Rocky Laporte.
Rocky
Laporte will be live at Governor State University. How do people get tickets?
They can go online to centertickets.net or call the box office directly at 708-235-2222.
All right, question is?
We are just doing Chicago trivia. This one is the Wrigley Building here in Chicago, obviously, was the first office building to be equipped with what?
Dave Innitt. First office building to be equipped with
an You're not supposed to give the answer.
Couple of minutes before 9, we'll get the first correct answer for tickets and the second correct answer for tickets. You're both going to win. 312-981-7200. Back after this.
When my early morning day begins, and
the sunlight hits my face. I've got the sound of WGN 720 locked in place. Now I've tuned to you, and the day's all bright with me. Yeah, 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 yeah. The voice and wake up call, I know that it can only be.
This is my favorite part.
The Steve Cochran Show.
This is a big hit in the clubs. It's from John DeCosta's EDM period.
The grind dance to this.
It is.
Oh, yeah. That was John DeCosta.
My favorite part is the Cochran Show. Cochran.
Yeah, that's a good call. Yeah, it's a good call. Pat McGann's here. Hi, buddy. How are you?
Good. I'm great. I love that tune myself. That's solid.
Nice to see you.
Good job, John.
It's on your CD.
Yes, it is.
Before we do a blatant plug for us, let me do a plug for this.
Sure.
Stand Up for Veterans, presented by, amongst other people, Rock Chevrolet and Gray's Lake and a bunch of other fine folks. Full day of events, food and beverages, and tons of entertainment. It's going on, and it will be at Gold Pyramid House on Dilley's Road in Wadsworth, where you can get house tours all throughout the day as well. And they're raising money for vets. It's MidwestVeteransCloset.org. MidwestVeteransCloset.org. Bottom line, great event, full day of good times. Actually, you know what? The event ends at 6, which gives you time to drive to Tinley Park and the Greater Governor's State area and see us tomorrow night.
Yeah, I wouldn't go to Tinley Park, though. I'd go to, actually, University Park. That's where I would go.
Okay.
He said Tinley Park area. Come on,
okay,
guys.
Okay, that's true.
General area.
General area.
Yeah, general area. Governor's State University tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. It's Pat McGann and Rocky and John and me. How you been? Everybody good?
Yeah, great.
Family's good?
Yeah, they're good.
Any trouble?
No, we got 2 in preschool now. My son's there now. He's going. He's got his book bag.
Yeah.
No books. But a book bag, because on any given day, he can have 1 or 2 pieces of paper.
Right. You got to have someplace to carry it.
Sometimes it's construction paper, and you need something to haul that.
How old is your boy going to the preschool?
3.
3 years old.
Yeah. And I say at any given day he can have that paper. It's actually just Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday.
Is that right? Those are paper days?
Those are the only days he goes.
Doesn't he have paste? I mean, you know, kids always have paste.
Yeah, he eats that.
Yeah.
Right. So he takes his lunch.
This is what his teacher told me. I picked him up the other day, and his teacher goes, he really likes it here, but he was at circle time today licking everyone.
Remind you of you in college?
Yeah. I didn't know. I was just like, where? I feel like that was a good question to ask.
You know, geography is important when that story comes up.
She's like, no, it's not bad. He's just trying to make friends. I'm like, well, then he needs to learn the order of things, because first you become friends, and then maybe you get to lick him, right?
But not right away.
You don't open with the lick.
No, no, no. Boy, I tell you, once that gets out of order, you may never be able to get him back. Right. As a matter of fact, we had a clip of you on Letterman talking about the family. Roll that.
We just had a baby. Yeah, just had a baby. No. That's good. That's our second one. We don't really care either. Yeah. Just trying to get some sleep. Yeah, we got one who's 15 months. Now here's the second one. Everyone's freaking out about that. Again? Already? Again? Yeah, again. I had sex with my wife. Again. Twice in 15 months. She's insatiable. Well, we're excited. We're about to send out the birth announcement, which I'm not a fan of. Everyone gets those, right? Like, it's a boy, it's a girl, 8 pounds, 12 ounces. What are we supposed to do with that information? What'd you catch a fish? I don't know how to respond to those. I always send a note back. Congratulations, love, Pat. 6'1", 185 pounds.
That was probably 2 years ago now?
Yeah.
Let me turn your microphone back and I might help.
2 years ago, yep.
2 years ago. You know, Letterman's not on it.
I know.
Did you have anything to
I'm
do
not
with
doing
the
that. I'm not going to do his show again.
Yeah, you can draw the line.
Do we have a clip from his Jack Parr performance?
We don't have any of the Jack Parr.
Oh.
We got another clip to play for Pat coming up, though. And again, you can get tickets by going to centertickets.org or call.
.net.
.net, sorry.
Yes.
And it's in Tinley Park, right?
I can do this, Steve. Yeah, I can do this.
Centertickets.net.
Centertickets.net. Or call the box office directly at 708-235-2222.
You working all the time?
Yeah, I've been pretty busy. I was, you know, I'm doing a little bit of travel, some corporate gigs.
Yeah.
I was down in Myrtle Beach this week.
How was that?
It was fun. I was working for this cinema company that's just got bought out by a larger cinema company. So Carmike's Cinema was the gig, and they just got bought out by like AMC. So it was hilarious because these people just didn't care. They're just like, they're so checked out. They had these meetings that nothing was really being said. And
so this is a Carmike's meeting for a company that's not going to exist anymore?
Right.
They were just burning off company cash.
They were. I feel like they were just being nice to just do this.
Just for a raise?
Boondoggle. Yeah, right. I should have. But I really didn't. They gave me some boundaries I had to work within, and I was like, well, what are you going to do, right?
Like, yeah, right.
It's not like I'm coming back for next year's Carmike's.
Yeah.
There isn't going to be one. Now, is it better, because I know, you know, being in clubs, but is it better when a corporate gig if the crowd is completely schnockered?
Oh, yeah, for sure. The corporate gigs, definitely. I mean, John can attest to that, like if they're loose, because you never know how those are going to go. So it's like just comparing, like Wednesday night, I'm there in Myrtle Beach doing that corporate gig. And then last night I'm at Zany's in Rosemont. It's like night and day. Like you just feel so much more relaxed when you're doing a club, because those people are there for comedy and the corporate gigs are just.
Yeah, but the worst thing in the world, the comedians know this, is a bachelorette party because they don't care. They just came to talk and giggle.
Right.
Do you have a lot of bachelorette parties showing up at corporate gigs?
No, we do not. And you don't get them as much in Chicago because I feel like there's so much more to do. But you get them when you go to these smaller towns. Sometimes they're like two or three bachelor parties. So you're like, say you're in like, you know, Toledo or Des Moines.
That's true. I would agree.
And
yes.
Then you're like, really?
It's the place to go. The only place. Oh, everybody go to the comedy club.
Yeah, it bums me out when they come to the ones in Chicago. It's like, come on, can't you guys put a better night together? Go out. Yeah, go talk to each other.
What are you doing here? This isn't fun.
Yeah.
Denny's has a booth. Go.
It's ridiculous.
I actually saw John, who you've known much longer than I have. I actually saw John get very angry with someone in the audience. It wasn't a bachelorette party, but it was a reunion of older women who hadn't seen each other in like 30 years. And to see John lose his temper with someone was funnier than the act.
It takes a while
to
get him ticked off.
Yeah.
He might act like a little annoyed, but he's playful with them.
So they were just talking to
him. You went at him?
They were having it. Yes. They were enjoying the reunion, talking on their phone and everything else. And it was great. It was great.
Oh, they weren't listening to you.
Glad I brought it up. 9:19. Let's take a break. Come back more with Pat McGann in a moment. And again, tomorrow night, you can get your tickets for the big show. And Kevin Powell will join us in a bit.
Oh, good.
Kevin, who gave up his stand-up career after two shots.
Yeah, two good
shots.
Have
you talked to him about ever doing stand-up?
Yeah, I asked him. I said, please do it again. He goes, nope, I don't have time to cut a CD.
Good. Get him out.
Yeah, get him out. Who needs that?
You don't need any competition.
By the way, if you want to hear Pat McGann's new CD, what is it called?
It's called Sounds Good.
You ought to buy it if you want to hear it. It's not like you're going to be in my car. And where do you get it?
You can go to iTunes. You can grab it there. And I think it's like $9.99.
But for you, it's $9.99.
Right.
Sounds Good is something your dad used to say?
Sounds Good. Yeah, it's in a joke I do about my dad, texting my dad about, you know, he wants me to text him. And I'm like, yeah, you know, so I try. You know, like I said, I'm like, hey, want to get together, watch a game? And then 4 days later, it's like, yeah, sounds good. Like, really, dude? I really don't remember what I asked you.
Because it's Thursday, and the game was Tuesday night.
Yeah.
9:20, back with more in a moment on 720 WGN.
The Steve Cochran Show.
Kevin Powell standing by. Talk a little baseball. Pat McGann's here as well, John DeCoste. Matter of fact, John, you have a winner of our last question.
Oh, yes. We have two winners, Brad Pendergrast and Steve Conrad.
Brad Pendergrast is the one who was married to Angelina Jolie, right?
Right. Yeah. Pendergrast-oli.
Do you hear the rumor that came up yesterday? Brad Pitt goes nuts on an airplane, private plane they're flying back with the family, and he's menacing the kids, may have shoved one of them. Drunk as a skunk, gets off the plane. The ride isn't there, the car, to take them wherever they need to go. And he tries to steal a fuel truck.
Really?
That's how you know you're drunk, kids. That's drunk. That's super drunk.
Wow.
That's extra drunk. You know what that is? Drunk with alcohol. A side of drunk.
How would you even know how to handle that?
Why would you?
So that's why they split up? I haven't been following it, to be honest.
He's been stealing fuel trucks.
He's been,
yeah,
he's
all
been
over
drinking
the country.
And rude to the stealing fuel trucks. He's been rude to the kids?
Yeah. Well, no, that's one of the rumors. The other rumor is he's had an affair with a co-star.
Really? But they don't even
Danny DeVito.
Who? Danny DeVito.
Yeah.
Who worked for BP.
Who worked for BP in a fuel truck. It all comes full circle.
It is. It's
Who are the winners?
The winners are Brad Pendergast and Steve Conrad. The question was, the Wrigley Building was the first office building to be equipped with what? The answer is air conditioning.
Is that right?
Yes.
Well, glad that we got rid of that, huh?
I know. Yeah. That was a week ago.
Kevin Powell standing by. And Pat, you're a big baseball fan this year on the wrong side of town, apparently.
Yeah, right.
Morning, Kev.
Oh, hey guys, I can listen to you three talk all day. I've been laughing in my car.
Yeah, well, I mean, who's funnier than Pat McGann? I mean, other than John and me and Rocky.
What's up, Kevin?
Nobody. I feel bad for Pat because I know how diehard of a Sox fan he is. It's been absolutely brutal this year for the Southsiders.
Tough year.
Are you still
But you learned from it.
Are you still
grow.
Wait till 2005.
Yeah.
Are you still doing work for the Sox?
I do, yeah. I would do a podcast. I do a podcast with them.
Is the work sad now?
No, we're trying to stay positive. Okay. We see, you know, we have the long view of things.
Well, Kevin, at his core, has always been a Sox fan. Do you two have any ideas for 2017?
You know, I feel like I don't want them to blow the whole thing up. I think they got some good pieces. I hope they still keep, like, Quintana and Sale.
I would say blow it up and trade everyone.
Really?
Really, yeah. The entire team?
Tim Anderson?
Yeah, keep him.
No, not Tim Anderson.
Okay, well, you just said blow it up and trade everybody.
Yeah.
I would trade
steal a fuel truck, drive it into the park, blow it up.
What about Chris Sale? Would you keep Chris Sale?
Definitely.
No, I would trade Chris Sale.
For who?
For a fuel truck. I pay attention.
Man, I wish I used to sit next to you in school at lunch. Really? You want to trade that?
Serious?
Hey, I don't know, man. I feel like they're close. Closer than you would think.
But Chris Sale's apparently nuts. You know, he's been murdering laundry all over town all season when he should have been pitching. I mean, you know, you want that guy on your team next year?
He's competitive, Steve. He's competitive. I can't say anything bad. I barely have a job there. Like, I have like my foot in the door, literally, and I'm trying to.
So this is tickets and $8
yeah,
for you.
Yeah, I love that. Everything they do is a solid move. Yep, go ahead, play it. I love it. This is when you can really be a Sox fan, right?
Well, and Jake is a huge Sox fan.
Yes, yeah.
And that's the only hat he owns because he's worn it every day since he started working here.
I'll just say this. As I've grown up, I try not to be... Like, my mom is a Northsider. She's a Cub fan. A lot of Cub fans in my family. I try not to be a hater. I can appreciate what they're doing. I think Theo Epstein and Jed Hoyer, they're incredible. But I feel there could be a little bit of overconfidence. And you saw it last year when they built, like, the Schwarber monument, the home run on top of the scoreboard. It's like, dude, you got to chill out. You don't put up monuments along the way.
You haven't won the
World
Series.
Some of the quotes that are coming out, it's like, there is so much luck. Think about the Sox.
A famous Chicago sports executive said this to me the other day. He said, you need a lot of hope and two miracles to win a championship. Mm-hmm. And
the drop third strike, Pat Senek hitting a home run.
Yeah.
Jeff Blum hitting a home run.
Yeah.
There are so many things that have to go your way. Yeah. It would be great for Chicago. Great
you
for
don't
my
want the my, Cubs to yeah, win a World
My grandma's series. A Cub fan. Okay. She's still around. Like that would be awesome.
Well, they just
kill her for her. they could.
They just videotaped yesterday the World Series shuffle. So
they might
did
be a little
that.
Bit of this. Is.
So that should be that
right.
should work.
Kev, are you sensing any overconfidence in the Cubs clubhouse?
I don't sense any overconfidence, to be honest. I mean, they're pretty much laser focused, and they're keeping things in perspective. I haven't sensed the overconfidence. I think they have the right approach. But as you just said, I mean, it's baseball, and anything can happen. I mean, as I've said for really the past month now, barring any sort of major injury or any really, really bad luck, I don't see why or how this team could not win the World Series. I really don't.
But you know,
really
it's as don't. Close. The other night, Joey Votto hits a shot, a line drive back up the box. Yeah. It caroms off John Lester, hit him on his right hand above the glove on the wrist. If it hits his pitching hand, I mean, as quickly as that, here's a guy who's good in all likelihood to be your game.
Well, I'll tell you something, and I'm not kidding about this. I think the worst injury you could have on the team is if Joe Maddon hits his head and isn't available for the playoffs.
That's a good point.
How likable is he? There's another guy.
Well, likable, but also he's dad. He's dad. He's the guy on the team. I mean, if he's not available, that's a problem.
Okay, right? I don't think that's a problem, though.
You don't think so?
No, I think
he's been prone to hitting his head.
He hasn't been on the DL once.
Okay, well, things when you say them like that, you get ahead of yourself.
Well, it'll be interesting, right, at the very least. And it's the only good story going on in Chicago because the Bears are awful.
What about the Blackhawks about this stuff? What's the matter with you?
But they haven't started yet.
Well, camp opened today.
Yeah. Okay.
Half an hour, they're on the ice.
Yeah. Let's check the – so
I'll get back
correct?
To you at 10:30.
Am I correct that they haven't started?
You are correct.
30 minutes.
Oh, so you wouldn't say this after 10.
Right.
So you knew exactly what you were talking
about. I'm a huge sports fan.
They haven't started yet. It's 9:30.
Right.
All right, so, Kev, what's your assignments for the weekend?
For the weekend, I will be on the beat tomorrow with Mark Carmen, 3 to 6. And then pregame's at 6, correct, Dave?
That is correct.
Cats.
Yep.
And then Sunday, I will be Sunday Night Baseball, Cubs-Cardinals. Cubs open up the three-game set with the Cardinals today, and Cardinals still in the wild card race. It's either going to be the Cardinals, the Giants, or the Mets in the NLDS for the Cubs. Those are your three potential matchups.
Which one do you like? Which one do you like, Kevin?
The Mets are just so banged up. I mean, other than Syndergaard, basically their entire pitching staff is injured. You know, the Cardinals are the Cardinals, but honestly, if you're a Cubs fan, I don't think any three of them really scare you that much. I would say I would most try to avoid the Giants because of, you know, Cueto and Bumgarner, but they've been really bad since the All-Star break. I think they could beat all three of them, really.
That's what I'm touching on. It may not be, and I think some of the quotes I saw coming out of the clubhouse were a little bit like, but also like it's just an assumption, like, in 05, the Sox were the best team in baseball, but they kind of came out of nowhere. They didn't have as much talent, but I was happy that they won a home playoff game. They had not won a home playoff game since, like, 59. And it was, you know, that was the first step. It was incredible. And now it's like, you just feel like, oh, yeah, they shouldn't be scared of anybody. It's fine.
By the way, Pat is burning an effigy of Joe Maddon live in studio right now.
I'd rather see him play the Giants, even though they'd run into Bumgarner.
But he would pitch the wild card game, most likely, right?
Guys, they're going to throw in the wild card game, and they could have a three-way playoff where this team could be playing twice and then coming to Chicago.
Yeah.
So you have all kinds of wacky scenarios there.
Well, right. Dave, I know you like a three-way playoff. It's much more interesting, a three-way playoff. All right,
Kevin, meanwhile, is high,
Kev,
wherever he is.
Kev, I'll be on with you in a row this afternoon, so I'll try to straighten that show out.
Enjoy the come down,
right,
Kevin.
Buddy. I'll see you later.
See you,
Kev.
He's got the best laugh.
He does, man.
9:33, back with a big story next on 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Music is a world within itself, with a language we all understand.
9:44 now. Pam again. Rocky LaPorte, John DeCosta, me tomorrow night at Governor's State. Pat's here. And for those of you that know Pat's act, you'll come out tomorrow night. You'll pay twice. But for those of you wondering if Pat's worth the money, listen to this.
We love brunch. My wife loves that. The trendy places, the one-word titles. She always comes to me. Let's go to Toast. I want to go to Plate. Fork, yolk, napkin. How are these people naming the restaurants? Just playing I Spy? $14 omelet, why don't you call it Rip? I'm serious. She took me to this place called Toast to kick off the meal to bring out the water. Guess what's in my water? Slice of cucumber floating right there at the top. I'm like, okay, I hate this place. I don't want to sound like a jerk, but guess what I don't like in my water? Food. It's like, what are you trying to sneak a vegetable in my diet? Like my mom's in the back, smash up some peas, put them in his hash browns.
That is so good.
I just want to go to a diner, right? A diner, like George's. It's called George's because he owns a place. He's there behind the counter. You know the counter I'm talking about with all the shady people, like serial killers. But you feel safe because there's a cop there too reading the paper. They got that 18-page menu. They have everything, right? Somebody at your table's eating shrimp. The other guy's got lasagna. Girl across me is eating walleye. You're like, I don't know how you keep it all fresh, George, but this is awesome. And very reasonable.
It's Pat again. Pat, what's the title of the new CD?
Sounds Good.
And I get it at iTunes?
Yep, iTunes.
Right. Can I buy it somewhere? Can I actually get an actual CD somewhere if I still play those?
You can come to the show tomorrow night at Governor's
yeah,
State.
Right.
I'm going to be there. I'll sign it. I never sign them. Sometimes people ask it.
Yeah, I was just we were listening to the clip. It's so fun to watch Pat, as I do most comics. They're so uncomfortable when you're playing their stuff.
Yeah,
they're like, oh God, just get this over with.
You wouldn't believe how much I wish I could get something else on these headphones. I mean, all morning long, I'm listening to me. You guys up for a little Rocky?
Yeah, yeah.
A little Rocky LaPorte. You ready? Give me a little Rocky.
I had to go to court on Tuesday. My freaking lawyer don't show up. I had to be in front of this judge. I don't know what the hell he's talking about. He goes, do you have counsel? I go, no. I got a stick shift. He goes, what the hell are you talking about? I go, I don't know. Can I buy a vowel? You should buy a thesaurus. I go, they're extinct. My whole week was like that.
It's a Rocky LaPorte. Tickets tomorrow night. You get them where, John?
You can go online to centertickets.net or call the box office directly at 708-235-2222.
And good news on Elliot. Elliot, your little boy, has been dealing with some illness issues for a year or so now, maybe a little longer, doing pretty well.
He is. Yeah, he's doing good. He's still in treatment. It's not as intense as it was, you know, before. A lot more manageable, and we're just excited that he's growing up, you know. Turned 3 in June, and as I mentioned, he's my guy that's in preschool now, and he's doing good. He's doing really well. Thanks. Yeah.
Thank See you a Sox fan?
He is. Yes, he will be. Although he doesn't like to watch.
He will be. He will be.
I will indoctrinate it in him.
He doesn't like to watch baseball?
Not really.
Yeah. Too slow.
My daughter will watch it with me a little bit. She has a little bit more of an attention span. But they just want to watch their nonsense, you know?
Yeah. I don't know about you when you're a kid, but when I was a kid, I would watch what my dad wanted. You know, and yeah. I never dared ask to watch something I wanted to watch.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, now kids just go, Dad, turn this off.
They run
turn
it. Turn this off. They run everything. Yeah. We just drive them around, listen to their crap music. You know?
Yes.
If you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. Like, that's what we hear. What they hear is like, if your parents are your... Well, I can't say that word on... But
no, you probably
if you run the world...
Yeah, right.
Well, have fun tomorrow night, dude. I appreciate you doing it.
It's going to be great, and I'm looking forward to working with you guys again, John and Steve, and it's always a blast, and Rocky LaPorte is phenomenal. So
yeah, and he's twice as smart as you heard there.
Yes.
Yeah, he
is. It's 9:48. We'll come back with Jewel in just a moment before Bill and Wendy on WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
Who will save your soul?
9:52, when I was a disc jockey for a lot of years, you know, you get sick of certain things. I never got tired of playing Jewel records. I love Jewel. I've been talking to her in quite a while. And her book, her memoir, Never Broken, out in handy paperback form. Get two. You're careless, you'll lose one. And nice to talk to you again, Jewel. How are you? Hello, Jewel.
How are you?
Nice to talk to you again. How are you?
Well, hello. Well, I'm great. Thank you.
And I'm very impressed with your book. You know, I thought I knew you a little bit from talking over the years, but there's stuff in the book I didn't know. Man, I didn't know. First off, how in God's name are you even remotely normal?
That's actually why I wrote the book, because I get asked that a lot.
Your mom was particularly difficult. Your dad wasn't easy, but yet you've managed to, you know, come out of backwoods Alaska, be a big star, and you got a little boy, and you seem like you've got your act together. I think you're kind of a walking, talking miracle.
I really believe happiness is for everybody. It doesn't depend on our backgrounds, what our families were like, if we have a home, much less the right home. And my success, I don't think, has been my career, although I'm very grateful for my career. My success has been that I'm okay. I'm able to function in the world and believe in the goodness of people and trust my instincts and experience love and happiness. And that's because I really took this journey of really discovering, how does my brain work? How was I wired from my childhood? And how can I rewire it so that I can have a better outcome and not be a statistic? And so that's why I wrote the book, and that's why I created the website, was to share the actual specific exercises I used. They're very simple, very easy exercises to adopt. You wouldn't think they actually create as much change in one's life as they do, but they really do. And it forces you to be present and to be mindful. And there's a lot of science actually behind why the exercises work, which has been fun to learn about as well.
Yeah, and that's the thing about the book. It's not just your life story. There's a lot of self-help techniques in here that have worked for you that you open up to other people, and you can take advantage of them or not. But it's certainly, I'd recommend you take a look at them.
Yeah, in the book, I sort of allude to these sort of paradigm shifts in my thinking that really helped me avoid being a statistic. And fans have been asking, well, what are the specifics? Like, how did it actually work? And so that's why I created the website, jewelneverbroken.com. It shares the very simple, doable things that you can incorporate into your life. And an amazing scientist named Dr. Judson Brewer came on board to sort of share why these exercises work, which was really fun.
You know, I came from an interesting childhood. And I don't know about you, but after going through that and growing up, the one thing I don't have a lot of tolerance for are grown-ups who blame their entire lives on their parents. It sounds like you're in the same headspace.
Mm. Yeah, at some point we become accountable. The fact that we didn't have, you know, we had less than ideal childhoods makes us incredibly normal, because whose is? And what are we going to do about it? And will we repeat the cycles we were raised with, or will we intervene? The problem is, you know, it's like, I call it an emotional English. We're raised with an emotional language in our household, and it's the language you know. So my dad was raised in an abusive house. He swore he'd never abuse his children. All that does is create a vacuum unless you learn a new language. And so when my dad was triggered and suddenly a single father, he relied on the programming he was taught. And to much to his horror, he became an abusive alcoholic father. He ended up turning that around in his 50s, which took a tremendous amount of work, and I was able to turn it around at a much younger age. But it's only by talking about it and examining it and learning a new language. And as you know, learning a new language is hard, and we can go to school to learn Spanish, but there's really nowhere to learn a new emotional language, and so that's why I tried to provide the website to share, you know, some of the keys to how I did it, and if it helps people, that'd be great.
Yeah, you know, it's like a Rosetta Stone for dysfunction and emotional pounding that you can work through and get beyond.
I like that description.
Well, yeah, straight cut to the chase, right? You know, in the book, as you detail your life, I think one of the more fascinating things about your career is, how do you get from, you know, a little town in Alaska to play in New York and to having hit records and all of that? Was there one seminal moment that was like, that you consider your big break?
Yes. When I was homeless, I started trying to really say, can I turn my life around one thought at a time? And it made me write a lot. Instead of stealing, I was trying to distract myself by writing and being really honest in my writing. And I took a very big risk and decided to sing this very emotional, vulnerable music to strangers, so that I, you know, the only place I told the truth was in a journal that nobody read. And it made sense. I was alone and isolated feeling. So I took this risk to try and be seen, and it really paid off, and I ended up getting an amazing following in San Diego while I was homeless, and a radio DJ heard about it, and he put a bootleg of mine on the radio at 2 a.m., and it ended up so requested, I ended up in the top 10 countdown, and record labels heard about it, and that's how I was discovered, and that was definitely one of those moments where you go, I cannot believe this.
What's your favorite Jewel song?
Oh, I'm fond of Who'll Save Your Soul.
Yeah,
it was the first one I ever wrote. But I have a new album out right now called Picking Up the Pieces. It's a bookend to that first album. It's like a very simple, raw, emotional folk at record, mostly live. And there's a song on there called Mercy that is probably my favorite song right now.
It's nice to talk to you. You got to run. I got to run. But I hope we can connect again sooner than later. And congratulations on Never Broken. Give folks a website again.
It's jewelneverbroken.com.
Have a great weekend.
Thank you.
That's Jewel, and I'm Steve. And we're back after this on 720 WGN.